Welcome, my friends, to the podcast that never ends, where we gather our clan and talk about peace and love in our lives, the difficulties along the journey, and how we rise up. We will experience a little thing I call Kluberty together, find our sweet spot, and planting our seeds to watch them grow in our magic garden. I'm Uncle Dave, and our transformation starts right here. Hey now, and how are you doing? Today's episode of Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat, we're going to bring some real light to autism. And one of the great things we're going to do is bringing about guests on here who either have experienced autism or are working through autism. So today I'd like to introduce my friend Sam, who has an amazing podcast that you need to listen to because it helps change stigma, and that's one of the things we're working on. But also, it's so engaging and so entertaining that I think the value is huge. So, hey, Sam, how's it going?
Hey, bud. I'm all right. You?
I'm doing well. So thank you so much for reaching out to me and being on Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. You have a really huge podcast. So, to help me as somebody who's starting out is really a huge help, and I appreciate that. Tell me about how you started your podcast.
Sure. So I started a while back. It's been on since October 2019. And in our county, we have a big hospital where kids are going to go if they are sick, really bad sick, and they have some issues. It's called Riley Hospital. And they offer dance marathons where you get out fun, sumo suits. It's a blast. And if you come in, I recommend you go in. It's a big attraction, in my opinion. But anyway, our school had our first annual one. And I saw people coming down with microphones and cameras, some of my classmates. And I thought, well, what are they doing? So we asked them, like, what's going on? What is this? They said, this is media club, blah, blah, blah. Join next year because there's a lot of projects in the work. And which I understand now as a podcaster. So I was like, okay, cool. Join sophomore year, we fast forward. That's where I found the podcasting. That's where I make some of my own school's episodes podcast, which is Thundercast. But after a while, I still do them, granted. I'm not saying like they suck or anything, but it just got a little stale. So I thought, I wonder, just out of curiosity, I wonder if I could do this on my own. You got the talent, got the technique, got a good message, because this one helped me say, well, what's your perspective? What do you want to do? And she said, I want to help. And that was my like great goal is like, I want to help people, period. And so that's why I started, and I decided I have autism. There's no really autistic podcast out there that show the emotional side. Like, You got a doctor saying 1 in 54 have it, autism a disability. It's more in boys and girls. Okay, here's the deal. Great, that's a great starter. I would never just say they suck. No, that's a good starter, but they don't know about the emotional side. I don't think doctors can fully understand that.
No, I agree. I think unless you've experienced something, people don't understand. They could say they could empathize with you, but not necessarily know what you've gone through. And that's seeing it through your eyes and sharing it through your eyes really helps so much, because that helps me see what you're seeing rather than seeing it through my eyes. I just recently did an interview with somebody who's lost their sight. And the first thing that happened to him is they automatically, people started seeing him differently and seeing him as a person who's disabled rather than just somebody who doesn't see. And, that's huge. I'm sure you've experienced that.
We have a friend who can't see either. He lost his eyesight in a hunting accident. Lonnie Bedwell is his name.
And I will say, so I'm mom. I'm Sam's mom, Gina. So thank you for having us on. Really appreciate it. It's funny you said that, because my friend who is blind, one of his comments to me was, when he had his sight, he could see, but then when he lost his sight, that's when he, that's when he understood vision. And I just thought that was so powerful, because he can't physically see, but he definitely sees the world differently through a vision now rather than just eyesight. And I always thought that was just extremely powerful.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, because that was one of the challenges that he had gone through through when he lost his sight, he still wanted to go to the museums. He had lost it late in life, and he was about 35, and it was challenging. They had a lot of exhibits where they can touch. He goes, no, I want somebody to walk me through what it is so I can see it. What And that's the powerful part. So, Sam, how's some of the things that you share on your podcast, the things that you see and how you experience people interacting with you? So when you are bringing people on or you're thinking about something related to your podcast, how do you come up with the concepts?
So I call it the ape process. It's not like, so A means autistic, like autistic behavior. The P, that's perspective or like an interview. And E, those are my least frequent ones, but they're entertainment. Like sometimes I'll do analogies and stuff or some music ones, but they all come back to that autism.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like those acronyms, you know, the ape. You said it, and it's a great way to look at it. And I also like you said personal, right? So it's not just the fact of something that you want to only share, but it's personal to your guests and what you want. So I think that's really
helps a lot when you're studying. I had to say for a government quiz, and I remember to this day, it was Justin fought Chris Brown slowly like pizza, and they all stand for judicial review. Federalism, limited government, checks and balances, separation of power, you remember that other L, darn it, and popular sovereignty.
That's awesome. As a history major at one point, that's impressive. I really enjoy things like that. That's why one of the things that I do, and I do a little coaching as well, where I call it the PATH coaching, which stands for personal attitudes towards happiness. And because we all want to be happy no matter what we do and how we go about doing that. And happiness means something different for each one of us. What's something related to your podcast? Well, what's something in life that you seek to be happy with? What's something that makes you happy? So
happy in general or happy with podcasts?
Either. I'd love to hear both.
Okay, sure. So happy with podcasting is just therapeutic, really, because this one, I never told her some of the stuff on there, to be honest with you, because Mama Bear would come out. Mama Bear's came out lots of times already. Let's put it that way. And I wouldn't want to tell her some because it would just cause drama, and I think she'd be in prison by now. So I think letting the cat out of the bag, as they say, is a stress reliever and good for me. As far as happy, music is really saving grace for me. And dogs really are another saving grace for me as well. Our animals, my biggest concern is I don't want to hurt an animal, you know?
Sure.
I mean, if it's an alligator, I don't want to hurt him. I know. Well, I mean, like if I had to like get out of the water, you know, because I fell in the water or something. My biggest fear would be hurting him. I couldn't shoot him.
He's an animal lover.
I couldn't tranquilize him. I'm like, nope, can't do it.
So what's your favorite?
I like bit off.
What's your favorite animals?
Dogs.
I heard so dogs. What do you have? You have dogs?
Yep.
What type of dogs?
Italian Mastiffs. They're big. They're big girls.
Mastiffs. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Those are horse dogs. Those are nice. Nice. What are their names?
Phoenix. We let them in right now, but they had to be put up for the night.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you haven't put them up yet. You probably should soon.
Peace. So I know peace and dogs are one of the things that bring you peace and love. What are some of the other things that bring you peace and love?
Peace and love. Music, dogs. What else brings me love? TV. Lots of TV and watching the same programs over and over 24/7. And driving this one crazy sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what type of programs are you watching? I'm always looking for good shows to watch.
World's Dumbest. That's a big one. That's what I watch a lot. Rock music. Mainly like auditions. And Professional Wrestling Network, which WWE Network.
Yep. I used to love watching professional wrestling. they're in the 70s and 80s, the heyday of that. And I was lucky enough to meet a bunch of the wrestlers and stuff like that, Andre the Giant and all the guys. But there was at one point, there was a wrestling event near my house. So we stayed there as late as we could. Got in trouble when I got home because it was past my curfew. But I got to meet Andre the Giant, and somewhere in my house, I might still have the autograph, and it was kind of cool. Who's your favorite wrestler today?
Mick Foley.
Okay.
It's his. Kind of a little bit of backstory. You know, when Sam, we discovered that he had autism when he was 4, and then as it kind of progressed, like when he was 6, he really found wrestling, like WWE, and most kids do, you know, like boys especially really like it. And so my husband and I were like, oh, this is really good. Like, he's found something he's really interested in, and he's almost 19 and it's not changed at all. Like,
but there are adults who still love it.
But no, yeah. What I'm saying is it's stuck. Like, yeah. And a lot of times people that are on the spectrum do, I mean, society calls it obsessing about it, which it kind of is, but I call it kind of skill seeking. Like, they are obsessed with it, but these obsessions can lead to lots of success and lots of skills. So with wrestling, he knows from like what year and on?
19. Not 70, not the 70s. I don't know any of those. I can't find anything but past that on the network. I wish I could, though.
But like what,
80s? 80s. Not like 80, but 85 and so on.
So like 85 and on.
Yeah, so the Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, right? He changed the sport. I mean, that's really when they started getting better into the marketing. It stopped, you know, even WWE stopped basically being run out of Pennsylvania. And then that's where they started becoming that bigger, you know, WrestleMania 1 and things like that.
I know one thing from the previous, the 82 match, Jimmy Snuka versus Don Morocco in the steel cage. The reason why I know is because Mick Foley was there.
Nice.
Mick Foley, I mean, number one.
I know it sounds stockish, but it's true.
Mick Foley is number one for Sam, and he's actually met Mick Foley at a book signing in Indianapolis, Indiana. But you know, it was brief. There was a big long line behind us, so maybe one day he'll get to have him on his show or get to talk to him. Sam's been on other wrestling podcasts, and you know, he gets invited on those a lot because of the conversation, you know, that can happen because he can, I mean, he knows, I'm not exaggerating when I say from 1985 on, there is not anything he doesn't.
And the numbers, that's even more impressive.
Yeah, I'm impressed because that all started before you were born. I mean,
yeah, you know. Well, there's more. I can tell you what happened in each main event of WrestleMania 1 to 36.
Wow. That's incredible. But you know, I know your mom was mentioning about, you know, with some people might say it's a challenge because you're so fixated. But I got to tell you, you know, there's people who are fixated who are not on the spectrum, and you know, we shouldn't look at it differently, right? So to go back, you know, baseball season, right, is starting in a few weeks. There's people who love baseball no matter what their age is, or basketball season currently going on, hockey season. There are people who are not on the spectrum who, how about football, right? Football, every Sunday, half of America or almost half of America watches football. And nobody goes, oh, that's related to the spectrum. That's, no, we're just watching football. And you're watching wrestling. So I think that's awesome that you found a passion so strong on that.
It's just like you said, it's the stigma of, oh, my God, they're obsessed, which they are. I mean, that is what
it's true.
Part of being on the spectrum means, but I don't know why we have to look at it as a negative thing. You know, I mean, I can think of several times when he was growing up that people would say, oh, Sam has autism. I'm so sorry. And I just thought, I don't know why you're sorry. I'm not sorry. I wouldn't take that away from him. That would take away his identity. That would take away. And it's not like it's not like it's his whole identity. It's a piece of him. Right. It's a part of him. And why would we want to take, I just don't get it. Like, there are people that say, you know, buy this treatment for autism. And I'm like, what are we treating? There's nothing to treat. I mean,
right.
We were on a show a little while back ago. Really nice people. I mean, wonderful people. But they had done some research on autism. And before the show, they were putting up some information on autism. And one of the lines said, autism can be treated. And I read it. And then I was like, okay, we need to address that. You know, like, we got on to the podcast, really nice guys. And I said, but I do want to tell you one thing. In my opinion, my son does not need to be treated. Like, there is nothing to treat. Does he need tools? Does he need resources?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I've been in a resource room since how long?
Since preschool. But you know what? I need resources. I can't survive without resources. You can't survive without resources.
Yeah,
people having some resources, so I can't complain
about
that.
We all have. We all do.
Yeah, we all need resources, and that's one of the things that I want to make sure that on my podcast is to talking about resources, either if it's a mental health challenge or neurodiverse challenges, and how we overcome those things. You know, I mean, again, to go back to your podcast, you have, you know, it's a real business. How is it for you to be running a real business, and this is just asking another gentleman, you know, like, I'm actually would love to learn from what you've done and some of the things that you've accomplished.
Wow. What have I accomplished? That's a good question. I accomplished a lot. I don't know. I think I always like to joke. I think it's part of me thinks this is luck, honestly. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, but I sell merchandise to help me. I spread the word out as much as I can. I don't shut up about it to people. It's like, you know what? I have a podcast.
And I don't shut up about it. I mean, I'm sure people are like, oh my gosh, she
shut up already.
She's talking about it again. But
too bad.
I mean, it did start when Sam started. I will say, like, I do all of the behind the scene things for him. You know, it's my second job. I'm an educator. I'm a teacher. And I do that first, and then sometimes I don't even do that first. Sometimes I do his stuff first, but, you know, that's my second job, and I do everything. I mean, I do his promotions, I do all of the contacting, and then he does the voice. He's the idea guy and does the voice, but it started as a hobby, and we were just like, man, it'd just be really cool if you could get, you know, a few hits, and now we're reaching almost 5,000 downloads, and he's had American Idol contestants on his show and Dr. Temple Grandin. And I think he could probably get about, I mean, if we promote it right, he can probably interview about anybody he wants to at this point, if we contact people. But it's a little,
it's some steps.
I'm just trying to think of the word. It's wonderful.
It's wonderfully wonderful. Stressful.
Well, yeah, it's a little stressful because, you know, that was the one thing I said to people. Once you start a podcast, it's not just the launching, which usually holds people back. But then you're like, okay, now you have to keep going. It's like your car. You have to keep adding the gas to do it. But I would say, Sam, that one, you've been successful in that if you've started it out with merchandise and keep talking about it, that's sort of the ground game that I'm working on. You know, and you've obviously are more advanced than even what I've done. So, and that's very impressive.
It just takes time, though. Yep. Like, it's been a time, and for us,
and well, I think time is just an illusion.
Well, yeah, maybe. But for him, it's almost like something has, I don't know how to explain it. Like, we have sponsors,
mm-hmm.
and that's been within the last 3 months, 3 or 4 months. And when that changed the ball game, that changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we had people jump on board and say, we believe in what you're doing. We want to be a part of your mission. And we want to buy ad space. We want to sponsor you. We want to give you this. We want to do this. And we want to do this. That was the whole changing gamut. And, you know, we have a meeting on Thursday. With, I don't know if you're familiar with Ed Asner.
Yeah.
Who played up. That's how I remember. Yeah, the old man and up.
He was the old man, the voice of the old man and up. And then, of course, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes.
His son and his grandson have autism.
Oh, okay.
And they have a, out in California, they have a huge autism education center, and they caught word of Sam, and we actually have a meeting with them on Thursday for Sam to, I don't know what, like, I don't know.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
Who knows? Like, I don't know.
That's the magic that I'd say, Sam, where you're like, oh, it's obsessive. You don't know where this is going to go, this journey. And that's sort of where we're all in to take this journey. And you never know. I would have never, again, you know, it was kind for you to reach out to me. And, you know, I'm like, where's this going to journey? And actually, you are one of the reasons when I was like, okay, so when's National Autism Month? And I was like, oh, April 1. And I had already had an episode that I was going to drop. But I was like, no, this is more important. Because one, it is important to me. I just want to make sure that you understand. I have people on the spectrum in my life, and I've grown up with people with disabilities and things like that. So I respect that. And then when I listen to those episodes, and I promise you, I will get those, tell you which ones, and I'll listen to some more. And I'm encouraging people who are listening to mine to reach out to your podcast to listen to it also. It's really encouraging when you see somebody who society sees as having a challenge succeed, because it's, you know, and you're doing an awesome job. How does it feel for you? Could you explain that to us?
Relaxing is one way. Just one way to say it.
I'm not relaxed.
I mean, like, mentally.
Oh, that's good. No, I am kidding.
Not physically, no. Well, I've never been relaxed physically, but mentally. Yeah, I've been relaxed, but I know it's my place, and this world is my place and my island.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. Secure in ourselves, we're able to then share it with everybody else.
Right. He definitely embraces himself and embraces autism. It's never been negative. It's never been, I mean, when he was diagnosed, I knew some about it because I had students on spectrum in my class.
But you didn't sign a paper.
But I went through, like, I always say this, and I've said this in front of him several times, and it sounds kind of harsh, but I did. I mean, I was upset. I mean, I just thought, what the heck? I did everything right. I mean, I don't understand why this is happening to us. And I kind of went through a phase where I kind of was bitter and was like, I didn't agree to this. I mean,
yeah, but the bitter saying turns to your biggest present.
What was that? I know that
to a gift.
Yeah. What was the quote that you just said, Sam?
Your coal turned into a gift.
My what?
Your coal. Sam brings you coal when you're mad, right?
Coal.
Yeah. Coal.
Coal. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Your coal turned into a gift.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty, is when we're able to see the gifts that we don't always think that there are gifts. And what type of gifts do you have? Obviously, you have a great voice for podcasting. What other type of gifts might you have?
Writing. If I have my notebook, I could read you something.
He's very good at creative writing.
Writing. And walking, doing what I want, really.
Yeah.
I decided to take a walk just before I came here. She had come with me. I still wanted to walk.
Which is good. It's that moving, it's that energy. That's what I think helps with everything, with people who are less disabled, and, you know, trying to move that energy. And when you're able to do that, that's one of the things I'll show you after we record this episode about havening. So it's there's a technique that I've learned that helps you calm yourself down. And it's just very simple, by rubbing your hands and stuff like that.
Yeah, stimming.
Excuse me?
It's called stimming. Yeah, that could be stimming.
Oh yeah. It's definitely a stimulating. It's a psychosensory touch. Yeah, and I've showed it to my nephews and my niece, and it definitely has, you know, to remind them to do it is something different. But that's definitely something we'd want to do. How did you decide? So you explained that in school you were able to, you saw everybody starting the podcast. But how did you start reaching out to guests?
You just email them. You just find Facebook Messenger. You text them. You find a way to get to them. You don't stop till you try for an hour.
That's how long I try, at least.
Yeah, most public figures or anybody has some sort of contact, even if it's through an agent, even if it's through, and what we learned pretty early on was, you know, Sam was the one who had the big, like, he wanted to do the big things. And my husband and I were like, oh, buddy, I don't want you to be disappointed. You know, they're probably not going to email you back. And we finally just quit doing that because they emailed me back. And it's
Simon, because, you never believed Simon the Jundar would happen.
Yeah. I don't know if you, do you ever watch the show Cutthroat Kitchen or Guy's Grocery Games?
My kids do. Yeah. So I'm slightly aware of that.
Okay. Well, one of his episodes, you'll have to, what'd you call it?
Into Simon Majumdar's Cookhouse.
Into Simon Majumdar's Cookhouse. So Simon is a friend of ours now. And it was really cool because we watched Cutthroat Kitchen as a family all the time. And so Simon came on, he's an Iron Chef judge, and he came on and he played for an autism charity.
Because his nephew has it.
Yeah. And so nice. Sam went, I want him on my show. And my husband and I remember like looking at each other like, oh, that's so cute. Like, you know,
really so, cute. Don't ever say that.
So we emailed him, and within 24 hours, he was like, of course I'll be on his show. And then Dr. Temple Grandin called me on my cell phone. I mean, you just, until you try it, you don't know.
So what's been your favorite or some of your favorite interviews?
Oh, my favorite interview. Oh, Jesus. My favorite interview. James. I always say James.
James, we got to say who's James.
American Idol contestant.
Okay.
2011. He's cool. I like him. I always joke around. The ones I want to go grab a beer with after. Go grab a drink after.
When you're 21.
When I'm 21, yes. Maybe.
Yeah. James was, I just talked to James the other day. He is the nicest person. He has autism and Tourette's.
Father.
He's married with two children and was so fun. I mean, just really talk to Sam and keep in touch with him. And he's amazing. Love him.
Yeah. I find that when you find people who really understand, those are the greatest interviews and those are the greatest connections.
Oh, and Mandy. That was another one I enjoyed. The deaf musician who was the fourth runner-up of 2017, which is fourth runner-up boys. I get four is my magic number for some reason.
She was on America's Got Talent.
Yeah. I loved her.
Oh, she just dropped a new album. Yeah. So
you loved it too, because you thought I was being a reporter.
Yeah, she was she's deaf, but she's a musician and she feels the tempo up through her feet.
Wow.
Plays instruments and it's like, oh my gosh. So she's really busy, so we haven't talked to her much.
And 133. I had a couple of MMA fighters, one with autism, and she was pretty, I must say. I'm not gonna lie.
She was amazing.
And yeah, it's the South Pole, what's her name? Sarah De Jesus.
Serena De Jesus.
She's named Sarah.
She has autism, but she's an MMA fighter. She's amazing.
Wow. Wow. So does your MMA life and your professional wrestling life ever mix together?
No, I don't watch MMA. It's okay. All professional wrestling, buddy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wasn't sure if you watched some of the MMA as well. But no. So how would you explain to people who have not listened to your podcast yet how why is it so important to listen to your podcast?
They need to know the emotional side. They really do. They need to know why I'm so blunt. They need to know why I don't do Plan Bs. They need to know why I don't socialize the best way sometimes. They need to know why, how we feel when we're excluded and why it makes us mad. They need to know why I don't have the best sensitive feelings and why I have sensitive ear issues. I mean, I'm not deaf or anything, but there's certain noises that I don't like or I lose my mind with. They need to know that why I need to get a job, why that's important. That's my latest episode that just came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. His latest one is employability and, you know, people on the spectrum that get jobs. If you listen to anything that Dr. Temple Grandin has done, that is her biggest concern. You know, her being on the spectrum herself is, she has done so much research with autism and everything, and that's her biggest concern, is people on the spectrum not getting jobs because people don't understand them. and so they are fired, or they're too intimidated, or mm-hmm. people won't work with them and try to like see things. And that's a huge, huge issue in this country, is people
they need to go to the nursing home and we can't use the bathroom right.
And I that's one of the interviews, the other interviews I've done for this autism is Dave Thompson, who's the Nichols Center here in Long Island. They have a couple of in New York. They have a couple of centers, and they work to. He's one of the job trainers, and through their organization, they've also another organization they partner with is called Spectrum Designs, which I've just ordered a whole bunch of T-shirts from. So I don't know who your manufacturer is. Check it out. They are nationwide, and I'm not, you know, but I'm working with them and to do a marketing piece where I give back 20% of my stuff to 501c3 organizations and stuff like that. So, and because it's a process, and they've now built out candies where, you know, they package up the candies, making candies, and it's a full business that I was just learning about. I knew about the T-shirts, but I wasn't sure about some of the other business, and I got invited to one of their nights where they call it the Zoomiverse, where they have online activities for neurodiverse people. And one night they partnered with the 501c3, but it's a 503 organization, which is about Star Wars. I'm a big Star Wars guy. So they had people, volunteers talking to anybody who attended the Zoomiverse that night.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're you'll have to send me like links and stuff with that, because we are,
Dave's one of those guys that I think would enjoy being, and that's, you know, and that's one of the things I like to do, is put together people, amazing people together, and let you guys do it. It has nothing to do with me. I just pass it on through, and we help each other.
Well, that's how this stuff happens, is people connecting with the Ed Asner. She was a lady that we were on her podcast, and she afterwards she was like, "Hey, I have a good friend. I don't know if you know who he is, Ed Asner." I know who Ed Asner is. Right. So that was just that connection.
Yep, and we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I just noticed my marsh came. I have sleep apnea, so that's...
Yeah, Sam has sleep apnea, and he has to wear a sleep machine, and sometimes he gets it too tight.
So. Yeah, it's tough on your nose, yep. My dad...
That's genetic.
Yep.
We should say, too, since we just talked about sponsors, we always try to... We love our sponsors. They do so much for us and help us, so we should say... anytime that we, you know, get a chance, we want to say thank you to Wellsprings Pain Solutions. Is our in Bloomington, Indiana, is our number one. Bloomington, and they have five different facilities in Indiana. Our second biggest sponsor is Little Blue Tattoos.
I'm my man Pina, who
Pina is amazing. If you're ever in the Bloomington, Indiana area, he will give you fabulous tattoos. So he's our second biggest, and then we have Perfection Auto Glass is also a big sponsor, and a lot of sponsors in Bloomington. We always try to. They are. And then we also should mention that Sam is having a big silent auction during the entire month of April for Autism Awareness Month. And it will be completely online through Facebook event. And we've got lots of really cool gift certificates and just lots of cool
stuff. And I'm doing a Autism Awareness Business networking event at some point.
We're working on that too.
Oh, wow. You definitely have to keep me in the loop on that and, you know, push it out as much. Because even though your episode will drop, keep me up in the information, because I won't mind sharing it out and trying to share anything special that you're doing. Because that's what we do, right? You know, it's a community, and that's what makes the world a little bit better.
And absolutely. Sunday is kind of my big work day for his business. So probably next Sunday. Whenever we process everything, we'll put you on our website. We're starting to get lots of traffic on our website, which is awesome. But we'll make sure all of your information goes there. And then on Sam's next episode, he'll give you a shout out.
Yeah.
That will automatically happen. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, we do our best to get on podcast and
we thank him in the end.
Absolutely.
At some point.
Yeah, you know, one of my biggest quotes that I like using is by John F. Kennedy, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. So, you know, if we're all doing it, bring a light onto all the subjects, and that's what we do. So Autism Rocks and Rolls. I don't know that we've mentioned the podcast, and that's what Sam's podcast is Autism Rocks and Rolls. And you obviously like rock. I know you had mentioned about music. Who's your favorite band right now? Do you have one?
Now? AC/DC. Yeah. It's always a tie between AC/DC and Nickelback. I can't pick between the two.
All right. Yeah.
Can't go wrong with him.
So what's your favorite AC/DC? So I'm a big AC/DC fan as well. I didn't know that you liked. What's your favorite AC/DC song?
Money Talks.
Money Talks. All right. Awesome.
And then for Nickelback, it's a underrated one, but it's so good.
Okay.
Going for the Ferrymen.
All right. That's awesome. Yeah, I have a friend who's a chiropractor here, and when we go into the bar, because he's part of my softball team, Joe Stefano, and all he does is play AC/DC. Like, we're like, Joe put that on. So we'll give out a shout out to Joe, to Doc Joe.
Oh, when Money Talks comes on, I will like relive my 80s, 90s years.
Oh, and you break your back when you try to dance,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, I will like turn into a much younger person than I am, and then I'll hurt myself.
it's funny. She tries it, and she's an eighth grade teacher. So every time the kids try to teach her an eighth grade dance, she can't do it right.
I hurt myself.
Me too. I'm not coordinated enough to do dancing, and my kids don't let me sing or dance. I embarrass them way too much.
Oh, this one I'm used to. I don't even care. Sometimes I'll even join her.
It doesn't even face him, because he went to the school I teach in, the corporation that he went to school to. He was always so used to me. Like, it doesn't even. In the car, like, I break out in songs.
Sometimes I'll just embarrass you by rolling the window down.
He records me and then puts it on Facebook and thinks that's funny.
What type of charities do you support? So I know you said you're running the month-long silent auction.
Yeah, we aren't supporting any change, but now you say, I think we should, Mom.
We just kind of, you know, like, yeah, that's, whenever he started this, it was such a hobby. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was probably a hobby for a year or more. And then slowly he realized, wait a minute, this is really cool. And I kind of want to be an entrepreneur, and I want to do this and I want to do that. So,
yep, I'm a businessman. I dress nice, and I don't like have a nice clothes. I'm not wearing a tuxedo or anything like that. yes, I wear khakis every day, most days, shoes.
I will say that we have done collaborations, and we're kind of in the works with Autism Speaks, and then the Indiana Association of Autism. We are in works with them, and, you know, we've done some things with them. And so, it, you know, trying to help them, and then they help us.
Sure.
So anything, you know, with autism that has really the same message as Sam, we all want to work together and, like you said, take the stigma off of autism. So,
okay. I've taken enough of your time. Is there anything that you want to leave or how you want to close the episode for yourself?
If I had to give advice, mm-hmm. it'd be nice and don't be stupid.
How about you, Gina? Do you have anything that you want to share?
I'm so proud of him. And I talk to so many people, and even good friends and family, you know, they're like, oh, you must be so proud. And I am, obviously, but it's just such an understatement. I always say, when you have a special needs child,
you don't know where they're going to go.
I know. I mean, as he grew up, I mean, he had lots of challenges, and we got through them, and it's a breath of fresh air, and I'm less worried about, you know, where he's going to go.
Yeah, so, and I have friends that are not on the spectrum, but have disabilities, and I'm wondering where they're going to go.
Right, right. And you never know. You don't know where anybody's going to go.
Yeah, that's the magic of life, is that we don't know where it all takes us. But you take the ride, you take the journey, and meeting amazing people like yourselves and who are doing good stuff. You know, when I started this, even when I launched in February, guess what? I didn't ever thought of it, and it just came to me, and it just fell into place. And, you know, I thank you for being part of my journey, and hopefully I can support you in the future as well as, you know, see how we can help you on your journey as well. Because I do feel it's very important to do that.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. You already done your part. You let me come on here.
All right. Well, thanks for another episode of Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Make sure that you always find your peace and love. But when you need to bring a bat, find that sweet spot and just make sure that you set your boundaries where you need to and swing away. Thanks a lot. I am really glad that you're enjoying the show, and I hope you follow us on all the podcast hosting sites, as well as Facebook, Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Or you can follow me, Uncle Dave, David Chemetsky, at Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, and www.davidchemetsky.com. I also would enjoy for you to contact me if you want to just have some feedback. You need somebody to talk to. At peacelovebringabat@gmail.com. Well, my friends, today's journey has come to a close. I hope the seeds of peace and love continue to grow for each one of you. Remember the peace and love surround you that will assist you to rise again. And don't forget to bring a bat for what you believe in. Namaste.